live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
With John. JP, let's try to see if we can get John. JP, are you there?
I'm here, man.
All right. Welcome. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. So that's my second time as a charm, man. It's been doing that, second week going, man. But I'm doing fine. Other than this daggone construction around the Circle City, man. I don't know about how your travels are, man, but you know, it is what it is. But, good to be back on the podcast, man. I know we got a lot of football talk to download and upload and all that, man, so both professionally and collegially. So, like, man, where would you want to start it?
Yeah, can you hear me now still?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I want to dive right in to the NFL, John. We got Tanner that's going to join us here at about 7:45 tonight. We'll have him join us as well. Give me one second. All right, can you hear me now, John?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, I'm switching microphones. All right, I want to talk NFL, John. Let's go Bears and Colts. We don't need to spend too much time on it. We're on a Thursday. We're already looking ahead to next week, but Bears and Colts. Last week, Anthony Richardson, John, his short passing game sucks, and that's got to be a huge concern for Colts Nation, because it's bad. He has some very bad short drives, like dink and dunk pass is just way off of the target, and a horrible interception in the end zone.
Yeah, for a team that's thinking playoffs, I don't know, Brandon, at some point they might have to pivot. Because right now, I mean, they played the team overall played well enough to win the game. That's what you take away from Sunday's victory. But their quarterback could have put the team in a better position to win the game, because the Bears couldn't move the ball. Hell, they got more penalties. They got more penalty yards than anything. Than they had the whole freaking game. So. He's got to play. The quarterback has got to get better. I'm going to tell you right now, Brandon, we are going to start hearing things like preaching, you know, patience with him. He's got a high level of athletic ability, man. Everybody can see that on the film. You just got to get that accuracy and got to get that connectivity. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be Pierce that you throw into or overthrow right. into, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the Colts overall did well enough to win the game. They rushed quality. You know, John Taylor, you know what I'm saying, look great. The rookie, you know what I'm saying, out of UCLA, Latu, turned some heads, you know, for sure, with a strip back. The Colts have, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to call it, we're not necessarily talking about hope just yet, but you have a glimmer of, like, you know what I'm saying, what the team can be. As long as they, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote, like, you know, clean up some things. But again, Brandon,
they beat a bad team. There's no sugarcoating it. They beat a bad team.
Well,
and that doesn't that shouldn't give you hope. 100%.
I don't think it's
the Bears are bad now. The Bears are bad. They have no offensive line. The general manager is a fucking joke. I'm sorry. I'm going to say I've talked to enough Bears fans this week that stayed at our hotel and how pissed off they are. At Pace, because you think being an offensive lineman, you would have an idea of what the hell you need to get in there for offensive line. They haven't.
Yeah.
Offensive play caller, the offensive coordinator, piss poor play calling, going for a speed option from the 2-yard line. It's third and one, fourth and one. A sweep and a speed option that you normally do not do. You have no. I don't even know what you spent the offseason on, glamoring about your wide receiver you just got, and then also your quarterback, but you gave him no offensive line. Caleb Williams, two touchdowns, two interceptions, but the dude's getting sacked. He's running for his life, even on a Colts defense.
Right.
But the Bears have completely fumbled it. The fan base is pissed off. They want the offensive coordinator fired. You got a head coach that challenges plays that are completely obvious that they're going to be denied, and he's not going to be in his favor, and he still challenges them. The Bears have completely messed this up quicker than I've ever seen a team do it. Now, I'm not saying they're completely done, but they've got to do something because this has started out as a train wreck for the Bears.
Right. When they also had hopes of sniffing the playoffs, sniffing the wild card potentially, man. They ain't sniffing no wild card with that team.
Not a chance. And it's just piss poor. Completely piss poor managed on that note. So, games from around the league, John. Jets beat Patriots 24-3. Pretty much a laugher there. Drake May looks like he's going to be the new starter. Giants beat the Browns 21-15. Giants coming away there with nice one. I think that maybe the shocker is the Vikings 34-7 over the Texans.
Right.
Houston back down to earth. Sam Darnold, the second coming of Sam Darnold.
Pretty good stats he's putting up, man. Their receiver, Justin Jefferson. You know what I'm saying? Pretty good stats they're putting up. You kind of have to tip your hat to them. And like I said, man, people kind of thought when Kirk Cousins left and then when they drafted J.J. McCarthy that, you know, that Sam Darnold was just going to be there to kind of help pass the torch and, you know, about his time, you know what I'm saying, game four, game five rolled around, McCarthy be out there starting. Well, unfortunately, McCarthy went down and, you know, before the season started, and Sam Darnold got the Minnesota Vikings leading the daggone North, which nobody, I guarantee you, had on their bingo card. So, like, no, man, you take it as it comes.
Steelers 20, Chargers 10. Steelers gave up 5 yards of total. The Chargers had minus 5 total yards in the second half. Minus 5, John. Not even positive. Steelers completely dominated the game. Justin Fields, 25 of 32, 245 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick. Calvin Austin had 95 yards and a touchdown. Najee, 18 carries for 70. Patterson, 33 carries. Fields had 6 carries for 6 yards and one tutty. Fields is starting to get more comfortable. They're adapting that playbook around him. The defense is top five defense in the league this year, 100%. Way they brought in this team, the defense they haven't had a single passing touchdown scored against them yet this year, John. They're the only team in the NFL without a scoring passing touchdown against this defense. I'm nervous the fact that Tomlin still hasn't named a starting quarterback for this week. That there's a chance Russ is going to play, but we've seen enough. Justin is getting better. He's getting better. He's feeling more comfortable. You got to keep the hot hand, especially this week. They're coming here to Indianapolis. I'll be at the game. I'll get to see Coach. So up close, which I'm very excited about, but they have to stick with the hot hand. Before we get to the Colts game, Justin Fields had a hell of a game there at home, first home game. They beat the shit out of the Chargers in the second half. It was a 10-7 ball game, I believe, at halftime. Chargers had the lead. It was 10-7 Chargers. And Pittsburgh comes out. They held the Chargers 7 punts, only one turnover in all, but 45 plays. They had 61 yards passing or rushing and 105 yards passing. That was it. Total domination. Don't look now, folks, but the Steelers, and I'm not saying this just because they're my team, John, but the AFC North, they're up 2 games almost on everybody except for Cincy. They're up 3.
Well, Brandon, just to chime in a little bit, man, I think there is a hesitancy from Coach Tomlin to, like, you know what I'm saying, insult and say, hey, man, this dude's a starter rolling forward, man. Because Russell Wilson, he had thoughts of, like, you know, starting, you know what I'm saying, having this hot run himself.
Right.
So, unfortunately, man, you know, and I don't think, man, there's some people, there's been, like, nobody seriously, though, talking about trading for that. But, like, why, even if it does come down to, and he does name a starter after, you know what I'm saying, the 2 more weeks or whatever, and Russell, you know, a former, you know what I'm saying, MVP level, you know what I'm saying, all those things, right? It's okay, man. Because, like, where are you – could he ask for a trade? Sure, but, like, why would you try to start in the middle part of the season on some team that is in desperation? Because,
right.
You know what I'm saying, you want to start. So, like, I think it's probably a little bit of egos too, Brandon. I'm not talking about, like, tearing the locker room up egos. You know what I'm saying? The team is winning. I don't think that's something that Russell Wilson, he's not going to try to, you know what I'm saying, come in between that at all. You know what I'm saying? He definitely –
You would hope not. We know it's a deal.
Right. But, Mike, you can't out – Mike Tomlin is the – you know, and the Steelers, they run their organization. That's their culture, right? So but it's like, nah, man, I think that with that, Brandon, Tomlin's just not trying to, you know what I'm saying, ruffle any feathers if there might be potential, you know what I'm saying? They potentially might need Russ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. There might be a chance for Fields has a rough game, for sure.
Yeah, do you really, on this phone right now, believe the Ravens is going to still be, you know what I'm saying, struggling? They beat the Cowboys, you know what I'm saying, this weekend, so that was a quality win for them. You know? Right. Well, hey, hold on.
Barely.
Man.
They held on.
Well, because Harbaugh started getting the conservative, you know what I'm saying? No, you know what I'm saying? No diss to the, you know what I'm saying, to the folks, you know what I'm saying? But no, Harbaugh got conservative on play calling, man, and he let Dallas get back in the game. They were thumping them, Brent. It was over. It was over. It was like 20. Oh, my God. It was embarrassing what they were putting out there. What the Ravens are doing. So, like, but, yeah, they came back and, you know, but still, it's the Dallas Cowboys. And here's the elf in the room, and the coach ain't getting re-signed. Yeah, Mike McCarthy would not be – unless they win the Super Bowl. Unless they win the Super Bowl, they not get to the playoffs, he ain't coming back. They're going to let the contract lapse. So he can't – so Jerry Jones can say he didn't fire him.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Where are you on the Steelers 3 games into the season, what you've seen?
Just from what I've seen, Brandon, like, they lead total defense in the NFL, you know what I'm saying, right now. So those are good positive signs, man. There ain't no roller coaster Mickey merry-go-round at quarterback, you know what I'm saying? They're quite solid. I can't, Brandon, the only thing that's going to be concerned for me, Brandon, is like, man, we got to get it out of neutral, bro. I'm not saying in neutral. We got to get out of first gear, and they got to figure out, because when they have to play a Buffalo, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you know what I'm talking about, if it came down to a playoff implication, if they got to play a Buffalo or Kansas City, you got to get it, man. You got a great offense, excuse me, great defense, but, like, man, you still know that the NFL is – the offense is mildly headed. And, man, and in the Buffalo Bills – They got a pretty good offensive line that they rebuilt the Darnells, and they kind of right back into where they want to be at. So I would be scared. I would be fearful of a Pittsburgh having to play a really offensively minded team like one of those two.
You'll be happy with this, John. After the Colts game, the Steelers. Well, the good news about Steeler fans is apple picking on Sundays can be done early at the 1 o'clock time frame, because the whole month of October, they don't have a 1 o'clock game at all. October 6th, or after the Colts game, they have Sunday night football. And guess who comes to town, John? Old Dak Prescott and the Cowboys come to town for Sunday night football. Then they go to the Raiders, and then it's Sunday night football again against the Jets, and then it's Monday night football the next week against the Giants. So,
okay.
And then bye week. So, 3 of these next 4 games are at home
favorable
as well.
Schedule.
So that'll sit well. Yeah.
Favorable schedule. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, they don't play any of their division games till the end of the season. Literally, their first division game is week 11. They go. After the bye week, they go Commanders, and then it's home Baltimore, at Cleveland, home Bengals, home Browns, at the Eagles, at the Ravens, home Chiefs, home Bengals. So, I mean, all six of their division games are in the last, seven games? Six of the last seven games are division.
Yeah, you already know the Ravens is always a tough out. The Browns is the top of cards right now. Things looking real good for Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's talk this week. Steelers Colts. Steelers come to town. John, what do you expect? What's your kind of prediction?
Man, I expect Anthony Richardson to go out there and zip them up. Put the Pittsburgh Steelers out there.
You don't even believe saying that. You don't even believe that. I can hear your voice.
Say misery, man.
You don't even believe
that. They're gonna come at him, Brandon. You know this, right? Colts fans, listen to my voice right now. Hey, man, the Pittsburgh Steelers on this defensive line, they're going to come at him. And I'm not saying he's not going to get the ball out faster. I'm not talking about he's going to hurt. They're nothing like that. But they're going to test him because they know they know that. They hear it. You know what I'm saying? The accuracy. Oh, okay, all right. We'll just keep on putting more pressure on there, right? So, but I don't necessarily think, this is going to be a lopsided game where it's not where the Colts are out of, a 5-point, issues. So I don't know. I got the Steelers winning just because they have the overall better team. And right now they got solid quarterback play where the Colts do not have. But it's not going to be – it'll be, within 5 points.
Let me ask you this, John. Would you rather – have Michael Pittman or T. Higgins?
T. Higgins, I do believe T. Higgins has a little bit more touchdown, like he finds himself in the touchdown.
100%.
Than Pittman Jr. Pittman Jr., and that's the yards.
Pittman hasn't had a touchdown
since
2023.
Yeah, the yards might be very similar. So Pittman Jr. again, man. This is big. I didn't bring it up, Brandon. It wasn't me. Somebody said it to me, and I just repeated it last year on Crossroads Sports. The airway. I don't know what episode it was, but like they say, Pittman Jr. is a little allergic to the end zone. Not my words,
yeah,
man. I just repeated it. A little allergic for a big time. So he considered himself a big time wide receiver and there was a little bit of a haggle, right? You thought, they kind of drug. It wasn't drug out though. Signed a dollar line with the Colts, man. He's here, but like, man, don't miss no games. We love that, but like, real anemic when it comes to getting in that end zone, man.
So let me tell you this: the reason why I ask is we were having discussions on it earlier this week,
yeah,
with people, and we were comparing. Who would you rather have on your team right now? I think, honestly, I hate to say it, I would probably rather have T. Higgins.
But Brandon, he gets often. He's hurt though, man.
And Michael Pittman doesn't.
Hurt, missing games, and hurt is different things.
So let me give you some stats. Michael Pittman. This is. They both came out the same draft, just so everybody knows.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman has 347 catches for 3,750 yards. And has scored 15 touchdowns. Okay?
Reliable.
Say what?
Oh, yeah, that's horrible. I said he's reliable hands, but 15 touchdowns, hey, man, for a
T. Higgins. T. Higgins has 3,723 yards, 260 catches, so a little bit less catches. He's only 20 right. yards behind where Pittman is, 24 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Pittman's got to step it up. You just got that contract, but he's got to step up. And I understand you may have had Joe Burrow versus the Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, that type of show. But
right.
You got to get yourself open. You got to get yourself in the end zone. You're paying to score touchdowns, right? So he's got to do it. He's got a good chance this weekend. He's got size on everybody except for probably physicality-wise. Besides Mika Fitzpatrick in that secondary. So.
He said that man is paid to score a touchdown. Oh, man.
Is he not?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. You owe an apology. I'm going to go ahead and ask for that apology. Now, Broncos 26, Bucks 7. Bo Nix looks like a starting quarterback.
Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they clowned him, man, the week before. So he took it on the chin, and like, they found a nice little pack. I don't know how they go. That was on the road, too, man. So that kind of was bad. We was beating the drum for Breaker last week. And they say that's a real bad loss, man. Kind of like back down to earth, Baker Mayfield, right? But like, no, man, the school is still out on Bo Nix, man. But yeah, he's not terrible.
You know who's terrible is the Tennessee Titans, 0-3. Malik Willis gets the win, 30-14 over the Titans.
All my man Malik Willis needed was a chance. It kind of makes you wonder why the Titans fired their coach. You know what I'm saying? If they was going to be this bad out the gate. I can't believe Will Levis actually has a commercial because, like, I didn't think that bad quarterbacks get commercials too. That's crazy, Brandon.
Yeah.
So, but as I remember, Brady Quinn had a commercial too. He had a Subway commercial back in the day too. So, there you go. But anyway, man, Titans are terrible. They'll be looking at, you know what I'm saying, one or two Shedeur Sanders, you know what I'm saying, or whoever in the draft potentially. But, yeah, Titans are horrible.
Carolina Panthers get their first win of the season, 36-22. All it took was Andy Dalton just letting her rip.
The Red Rocket came out there and showed the kids how it's supposed to be done, man. There's been some crazy talk about them trading Bryce. People, you know, the team was looking for trade for Bryce Young. Carolina Panthers are quoted as saying not take fill any offers, but who knows? I don't think he can lose any time this season. And potentially, because the nature of it, you know, his skill set, like, you can't just give up on it just because he was terrible the first 2 weeks of threes this season. So, but no, right. Man, the Rockets went out there and turned back time.
Dolphins lose 24-3 to the Seahawks. This season's pretty much a wrap for the Dolphins already, three games in. Or are we going to give them a little bit more?
I'm not going to minimize Tua's injury.
Yep.
But most championship teams, let's say it wasn't a head injury, and let's say it was like a ankle or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, right, a leg, you know what I'm saying, something that could come back in like three or four or five weeks, right? Most championship teams have a layer of backup quarterback, whatever, that can sustain a I thought Miami did. They don't have any offense that they can plug in without Tua. It's a wrap season. That's what it looks like.
Yep. Lions come back and win 20-13 over the Cardinals. We talked about the Ravens beating the Cowboys 28-25. Come back 19 points scored fourth by the Cowboys. Thoughts on the Cowboys? Jerry Jones says we just didn't have enough money to pay for Derrick Henry.
It was, dude, like I said, in the first half, the Ravens dominated. They couldn't stop Derrick Henry. They couldn't do anything with Lamar Jackson. And the defense kind of just pushed the offense. They couldn't rush the ball for nothing. Dallas couldn't. The Ravens kind of did let them. I'm saying it's one of those games where they said did Dallas lose a game or the Ravens win a game. The Ravens let Dallas back into the game. And the final score makes it look kind of competitive, but I'm trying to tell you, it didn't look competitive at all, man. Dak Prescott looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And they really didn't have no – you can't run the ball. So it looked
Yeah, here we go.
CeeDee Lamb up here complaining.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Apologizing, not complaining, apologizing afterwards, man. Like, nah, man. So they are defensively couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Micah Parsons,
you know what I'm saying? Well –
a word from him this year either.
You can have individual greatness, but it's a team, you know what I mean? But he's kind of played vanilla himself. So Dallas does, though. But here's the thing, Brandon, and this is for all teams.
You think he's butthurt because he doesn't have a contract?
Ain't that it? That's probably it, man. That's probably it. But like, there's only so much time and spotlight and money that we can give everybody because they gave CeeDee Lamb the money. They gave Dak the money. And,
right.
Like, the other shoe was supposed to be Mike McCarthy. Nobody's really talking about Michael Parsons, not right now. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure it's in his head.
Chad? Rams come back. This game was wild. I thought the 49ers had it. Rams come back and win 27-24. I was shocked by that. Chiefs find a way to win, beat Kirk Cousins and the Falcons 22-17. Some people say the refs had a phantom pass interference call they didn't there, and Chiefs look at 3-0 again.
Man, they did like four laterals in that San Francisco Rams game. That shit was crazy, man. Before the Rams won, Brock Purdy's leading. I think he's like offensive leader, one or two, as far as passing yards, man. But like they don't have the one loss right now. But I don't think they're in a panic mode. But yeah, some great quality games this past weekend.
And Bills just beat the shit out of the Jaguars, 47-10. Who's the worst team? AFC South, Titans. Which one would you say?
I would say Tennessee. They got to figure out what the hell's going on with Trevor Lawrence. And
I was going to ask you that next. Is the time passed on Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you know, I'm partial to the Clemson quarterbacks, man. I kind of like them, and I like their transition into the NFL. Brandon, it's like he's regressed. You know, and maybe he does have the yips, and people gonna talk about Anthony Richardson's accuracy. It ain't like Trevor Lawrence's accuracy is any any better. So, they really really need to take a look in the mirror and like clean up some things before they start that finger pointing, as that kind of locker room can get. You know what I'm saying, where the coaches are saying we did this, and the players are saying defense. You know, the defense might saying we did that. So, but yeah, their fortunes kind of rely on, you know, saying the accuracy of Trevor Lawrence, and right now he don't have it either.
Jaden Daniels, impressed with him, 38-33 win over the Bengals, the most accurate thing for a quarterback out there. 21-23, 254 yards and two touchdowns. Jaden Daniels, 12 carries, 39 yards, and a touchdown rushing as well. Very impressed with the rookie quarterback, second pick quarterback.
Man, I've been impressed with him. I would say that. No, but I remember watching Jaden Daniels. He was one of Coach Herman Moore's recruits out there in Arizona. It didn't necessarily work out there. Arizona State didn't necessarily work out there in Arizona State with Herman Moore and him. You know, saying all that, it didn't necessarily all connect. And it should have went for our championships, and he ended up transferring to LSU. Man, you could kind of see the accuracy, man. I probably bore you to death on like the statistics that he had. Obviously, LSU didn't win the championship last year, but with him being the Heisman, that's kind of how he was, man. Because he was just the connectivity. I was kind of worried about it, Brandon, if he was going to be able to have the wiggles, you know what I'm saying? Because he kind of seemed like a statue a little bit, even at LSU, just a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But like, nah, man, this has been like, you know what I'm saying, hope springs eternal now for the Guardians. And like, should he have been the first pick? You know what I'm saying? That has kind of come up, but nah, man, he's got a very complete game. And like I said, you know, it seems like he's on the upright.
Just some games to note for this week. Tonight, Thursday night, Cowboys and Giants. If you're listening live, that's your starting 8:15 tonight, about 45 minutes away. Vikings at the Packers on Sunday. Steelers at the Colts. That's another big one. Eagles at Bucks. Chiefs at the Chargers, I think, is going to be a good one there. Hardball, big division game there with the Chiefs. And then Sunday night football, Buffalo Bills at the Ravens. Lamar and them can't afford to go down 1-3 to start this season. Here would not look good for them. So those are some of your games for the NFL this week. John, I want to, before we have Tanner come on here in about 15 minutes, I want to talk some other news and notes from college football with you. Sure. First one, Reggie Bush is suing the NCAA, USC, and the Pac-12 seeking compensation, John, over the use of his name, image, and likeness from his playing days. Is this setting a bad precedence for everybody, and that the NCAA might be in some trouble?
No, Brandon. Did you want me to go sports yards on this?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Floor is yours.
Wait a minute. So it's like you admitted. So now we're out in the open. So, like, dude, they bought your mama a house. So, like, you can't go back and ask for more NIL money. You should have asked for more money at the time that they bought your mother a house. You know what I'm saying? So he wants to go, he wants to go back and say they defame his name or anything like that. That's impossible, man. He still played and helped the career in the NFL. No problem. Matter of fact, got to a Super Bowl, I do believe, with the Saints. No problem.
Yes.
Right? So I don't understand. You're still in the Pac-12. That Pac-12 that you played in now don't even exist no more, son. You know what I'm saying? So how you going to
come on.
No, I'm saying the Pac-12 that he played for does not exist. There's still a Pac-12, and to which, you know what I'm saying, we can kind of, you know, expand upon at a later date, man. I don't even know. Does any of those schools still touch the ocean? Boys in Idaho don't necessarily touch the ocean, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? But he's still in the Pac-12. I think it's like this is another cash grab, another thing, but to say, try to stay in the limelight. I thought they gave you the trophy back. You're still in the NCAA for what? I don't get it, Brandon. I don't. They said they were sorry. So now you want more? You want more sorry? You want to keep on bringing it up? Like, man, like, do you? Hold on. Is he suing USC?
I don't know.
USC not named in US. That's the funny part about it. USC is like, what are they? The middleman?
They are named in it. He's suing the NCAA, the university, USC as well, and the Pac-12, all three.
Oh no! Nah, then you can take that Heisman Trophy, man, and burn it, bro. Because like, man, we don't want to. I mean, I'm not. I guess I'm taking sides of the organization because I don't necessarily see his particular side after you were vilified, after you were adjudicated, however you wanted it. But you still cheated technically, he wasn't supposed to be getting paid.
Right.
The Bush push. Notre Dame still salty about it. You know what I'm saying? And I like Brandon. Everybody knows I like Pete Carroll, USC. The whole man. I'm trying to tell y'all, man, they was zipping
right on.
You know what I mean? But like this is a little much, man. I, again, Reggie Bush, man, did he have Kim Kardashian first too? Or was that Ray J?
That was Ray J.
I don't know. They were he's done a lot. How about that?
All right. Scorched Earth next. The UNLV quarterback, John, says after four games, you know what? I'm gonna redshirt because you're not paying me. I didn't get the compensation that you promised me when I said I'd come to this university. So I'm going to sit out. I have another year of eligibility. I'm going to use it somewhere else next year.
This little dude. But hold on, Brandon. There's a backstory to this.
Are you going to score first number two now?
Main line won't tell you, man. This dude did 4 years of Holy Cross football, right?
Yep.
And then outside of Jonathan Birdsong that watches midnight West Coast football or, you know, East Coast basketball. Like, man, Dana by Holy Cross, who were they? Right?
Oh.
So he played. I'm sorry? They got a great women's basketball squad. Outside of that, the football team, got to be somebody's doormat. Got to be somebody. Hey, man, we just got Holy Cross just made $100,000 from getting walked on by Central Michigan, whoever, right? That's what Holy Cross is program. I know we're going to get in trouble for that one. Just like that, we got in trouble for Temple. But anyway. So he's using his last year eligibility. He said on a phone conversation that somebody said something about $100,000, right?
Yeah.
Now, unless you got that, you never got it in writing, though, Brandon. So it's all $100,000. You know how a university can say, well, we gave you $100,000 worth of care. We gave you housing. We gave you whatever. You know what I'm saying? A food cart. You know what I'm saying? He was getting $3,000 a month. You know what I mean? But here's the kicker, Brandon. They might have did talk bigger money, but like he still got a 43% QB rating in the Mountain West. And like, dude, I'm not giving you, hey Brandon, I don't care. I'm not giving you $100,000 for that. I'm not. That is my score on him. He's gonna sit out to play another, you know what I'm saying, next year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, John, what I think has happened is,
go ahead.
And I feel like we're going to start having some – there needs to be some rules in for tampering because I also feel like a school finds out, let's say, let's say Washington State finds out, hey, you're getting – you're allegedly supposed to be getting this from this team? Well,
yeah,
if you come here, we'll give you X, Y, and Z, and you know what? All you got to do is just sit out your four games, take a red shirt year, and then you come back and you play with us next year. Now, that's tampering, if I've ever heard of it. So I think there's a chance some tampering had to go with this where some people have reached out to him and given him some advice on, hey, just sit out, dude. Just you're going to come here. Yeah. We're going to give you more.
Yeah, people blaming the NCAA for all this, man. I can't necessarily blame the NCAA, man, 100%, man. A lot of this does need regulation. I don't necessarily think it's a Congress thing to come in and regulate, but a lot of this does need regulation. And then, like, the school. Like, you would think there would be some honor among thieves, man. It's definitely none of that at all.
No. Okay. Next one, John. Memphis, USF, UTSA, and Tulane have all, quote, committed to the AAC. Air Force and UNLV are saying they're going to stay in the Mountain West. And you got Gonzaga, who says them and Utah State are going to go to the Pac-12.
Okay. Brandon, until California, one of the California teams goes back, migrates back to the Pac-12, you know what I'm saying? I'm still calling
them. Talking Cal and Stanford, correct?
Yeah, the ones in California, yeah. But all those teams couldn't go to the Pac-12. It wouldn't, like geographically, you know what I'm saying, from that standpoint, I know that's a terrible word. Like, they would just, like, they're not moving the needle. From themselves. It's a bunch of mid-major teams just trying to fight for, what, mid-major supremacy? Because they can all beat up one another. So, like, the best team, let's say, will come out of that league with two or three losses, but they didn't already play how many other Power Fives, they're not going to get invited to the party. So it's probably just best that the Mountain West still, you know what I'm saying, it is what it is. The American is still, it is what it is, still functioning. And like I said, Pac-12 is you know, I don't. Would you, do you think the Pac-12 is going to get another seat at the table? So that it becomes back to the, I don't think so. Unless there's a California shift where, again, UCLA is not breaking their contract no time soon. But let's California and Stanford go back. Like, I really don't foresee them making that a Power Five quote unquote conference that gets a seat at the table.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. John, have you checked in yet on Netflix anything on the Mr. McMahon documentary?
Nah, what am I missing?
I am on episode 3, and there are some skeletons that are starting to come out. The old sexual harassment things are starting to come out before the main ones back in the day are coming out. The Ring Boys that were allegedly sexually molested, and they dropped some old professional wrestlers dropped some names of some people, which I thought was shocking. Of that in there, you get Vince that says, you know, I'm gonna give you, you know, he does his interview and all that, but then like in the talks, it shows in the wording as the beginning. The wrestlers were all, everybody was interviewed, Bob Costas, everybody that's in this thing. It's a 6-part series, John.
Okay.
Not just an hour and a half long. This sucker is 6 1-hour episodes. And they go all the way through. And they said, hey, the interviews were all done before the latest allegations came out. And then it shows Vince sitting there, and right before they were getting ready to do the last interviews when the breaking news came of the latest allegations. So, I've heard a lot of glowing things, and it must be so bad that Vince McMahon tried to purchase it 2 days before Netflix released it to keep it from showing. So
wow, he was trying to put a kibosh on it. Okay,
yeah. He said that they used some editing tricks and stuff to make him look bad, and everybody has their side of the story, yada yada yada. But they've got all the heavy hitters doing these interviews. Triple H, Hogan, Taker, Bret Hart, and my wife asked, who would be the most honest in these interviews? I said Bret Hart, without a doubt. He's the most honest one of, like, talking about Vince McMahon. You got Tony Atlas in there, and he's bashing Hulk Hogan in there, and Hogan's even admitting some faults that he did. Like, it's...
I never understood... I mean, Hulk Hogan Mania is dead to me. You already know this. But I never really understood Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon. Once you sue me, once I have to go to court and testify against you, I'll never do business with you ever again.
Well,
Hulk
they talk about it.
Dude, yeah, Hulk Hogan testified against Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And they broke up for a little bit. He went to WCW for however many years. He was in WCW for 6 or 7 years, and then came back like it was no problem. I thought that was crazy.
If you have Netflix, John, you need to spend a weekend, a rainy weekend, a la this weekend or something. You need to watch these episodes. It's damn good production. Executive producer, one of them is Bill Simmons. So I thought that it's been good so far. So I'll give credit to where credit's due with that. Looking sharp. So we'll have Tanner call in here in about 3 or 4 minutes. John, I'm going to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Without them, we would not be able to do what we do. We would not be able to take care of the masses with our sports knowledge, our sports talk. So thank him to that. Fever season ended, John. God, NBA starts, training camp starts next week already.
Yeah, that's crazy. Here locally,
I heard you had a Bronny jersey. Is that true? I was told you had a Bronny jersey. Okay.
No, man, here locally, man, Pacers ready to roll them out there to see, show everybody that last year wasn't no fluke. They're going to have, obviously, the field, some stout competition as far as East or conference supremacy is concerned. But I'm feeling the Pacers, to be a solid, top four team in the East this year. Will we see the best version of Miles Turner this year? I think so. I think this is a contract year for Miles Turner, whether he continues with the Pacers or another team. I think we see the best version of Miles Turner.
Like you said that last year too, and I felt like I think we peaked with Miles last year. I know you're not a big guy. One guy I'm looking forward to this season to see how he plays and if his development and growth to get better. And I've heard off season he's been looking good. We'll see how James Wiseman plays in. Obviously, he's taking that Jalen Smith role with Wiseman coming in there. Let's see how he does. Jairus Walker needs a big season. He needs to have a big year. Ben Mathurin, big year. Need to have it. So, and we'll see. But I'd love to have him top four. I don't have him top four, John. I think there's too many teams that are better than them, I would say, have gotten better. Mm-hmm. Gotten better. The Knicks have gotten better. Adding Bridges in there to that team as well. So then you got to add the Bucks, and then you add the Celtics. And there, that's your four teams. That's your first four teams. I got maybe a 5 or 6. I'm not bullish on that, but Orlando really didn't get too much better. And there, Miami, you got to think they're going to be a little bit better than where they were last year.
Philly, Paul George.
Yeah, like I said, Philly, Paul George. I think. Listen, people can say what they want about him, but and I've said my share. You can go back and find all that everywhere where I talked about him. But I think we talked to Boston, we talked Philly, we talked to New York. Cleveland's still up there, John. They're still there. You can't forget about them. And Miami. So, yeah, 4 or 6, I got Indiana.
Okay.
Not crazy.
They might – If Ben Mathurin can, ascend and find, rotational minutes with the starters, and add another fire punch offensively for sure. And not just settle for jump shots, man. The Pacers is right there in the fourth slot. I can't see them beating Boston in a 7-game series, but they ain't getting swept this year.
The Fever obviously lost last night to Connecticut. Series over, the most denied playoff format that there ever has been. The fact that them host 2 games and then Indy gets we got the third game, which is crazy. I understand why they did it back in the day, but it's definitely outdated now, especially when you're trying to save money. But now you're making pennies on dollars and everything. But, yeah, man, I think the latest thing was the way the Fever finished. Unfortunately, not how we wanted, but room for growth for the team. Caitlin's going to get at least 4 or 5 months off now to regroup, get ready for next year. And I think the biggest thing, John, is we got to watch, man, like, basketball's getting good, but we don't need the Fever being known as fans and stuff, being named racist and all this stuff. And you kind of, there's the decorum you got to have when you're going to these ball games.
Yeah. The NBA audience with the Caitlin Clark fan base, right. That they came over from college and came over from Iowa. or whatnot. With that fan base, the NBA audience then got the WNBA audience got bigger, man. And you know, saying I don't necessarily think we need a sensitivity training for everybody when they walk into, you know, saying when they walk in, but people should know, man. Okay, respect everybody that's here. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily get Caitlin's a battler. You know what I'm saying? She talks trash. She's out there jabbing and going back and forth, man, just as much as the other ladies that kind of go back and forth as her, as she does. Of course, she's the star. So, you know what I'm saying? As, from a fan standpoint, you're like, man, they're beating Caitlin up. You know what I mean? But, like, no, Caitlin will be giving it out.
I mean, the one girl's so. Six-inch nails went right in her eye. But and there was no call.
Yeah, but
no call.
Yeah, but in the last game, Caitlin, you know what I'm saying, a taller, I can't remember the player's name, but yeah, she's flinging her hands. I was like, oh, okay.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with you got Carrington from Connecticut and her fiance or girlfriend is the girl that's on the Fever? Like, do we have a little problem with that or no?
Her girlfriend. So
Melissa Smith is her girlfriend or fiance or whatever. I mean,
right.
You're playing your rivals out here in the playoffs, and
they're not throwing games, man. And I know
I'm not saying throwing games, but it's got to be a little weird in the locker room, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little weird when boyfriend and girlfriend are allowed to be on the same team, or girlfriend and girlfriend are on the same team. Just because from a team standpoint, that could become a little dicey, man. Even in the corporate world, you know what I'm saying? It's always encouraged not necessarily that they on the job. You know what I'm saying? Speaking from personal,
I'm just laughing. That's it, John. I know what you're talking about.
Speaking from personal experience, man. But but like, no, man. There's different levels of politics and allowances. I'm just being honest with you, Brad. I was talking about this earlier with our good friend of ours, and I was like, man, there's different politics that the WNBA has that and cultures. To be honest with you, man. Obviously, there's a large LGBTQ that culture that you know that's been there and supported it for a long time. And when Caitlin Carr came in and her fans kind of came in and all the media attention and all the fanfare. Those people kind of got, well, wait a minute, we've been here supporting. Where was the ESPN? Where was Fox? Where was CBS? And be quite honest with you, man, I really don't know because there has been some marketable players that they've had, you know what I'm saying, whether it be white, black, or whatever, you know what I'm saying. But Caitlin Clark, like I said, and Angel Reese too, man, it ain't just Caitlin, you know what I'm saying, Angel Reese too, and her mouth and in the house she plays, man. Even though the Skyforce is not a playoff team, this is what people like when basketball is played with a level of seriousness, and like that's what they brought to the to the table this year. So I think there's going to be a lot of fixes, Brandon. You mentioned them only playing three. Dude, they got to get rid of that format. They got to go through. They got to at least go to a five game format. They got to go at least to a five game format the first round of the playoffs, and then you go to seven games or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's too much money you left on the table. These people, basketball hungry fans here in Indiana,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
How do you not sell? You don't get a sellout crowd. Come on.
And then let's say Brandon, I'm going to be watching ratings dip or like ticket sales.
100% they will. 100%.
You see where I'm going? If ratings dip and because like.
Here's the thing: they're screwed next year too because they're not going to change the playoff format. They said the earliest they can change it is the next CBA.
Well, there's a lot of changes that
need. We got another 2, 3, 4 years left.
Yeah, don't wait on that because, like, dude, another player, like, again, man, there's a lot of international players that are not playing in the WNBA. They could
play in
the WNBA.
Team is Liberty. That's the team I'll watch. But, Unescu, I like her.
There's a lot of players out there that ain't playing in the WNBA, and if they could play them, they would come over, and it would be more competitive.
The WNBA just missed out having these stupid ass 3-game series because, and not even
well,
going all
could,
the home. Because guess what? Weren't they all sweeps?
They were even the Sun, the Mercury.
Yeah, they were all sweeps. So you're missing out on 4 games at least there. That I mean, crowds would have been up at least the Fever one. You would have had a sellout. But damn, like you're just missing out.
Yeah, even out there in Phoenix, Taurasi, they would want to see more of her, even on the road. You know what I'm saying? So, They're gonna change that up, I feel.
All right, time to bring our guy on. He's been sitting there for a bit, so let's.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
And that would be our guy, college football betting guy with us, Tanner Penrod. What's up, T?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Good, man. Good, man. Good weeks for us last week, gentlemen. We were all 7-4. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I initially had myself 8-4 because I doubled up Florida State and said, I am so sure this is a victory, and they were going to win by that cover that I doubled up on it. And I said, everybody gets one double up per week. Nobody else did one. So I felt bad when I did it and won. So technically, we're all 7-4. We'll just do away from the double. But I was damn certain that was going to happen this week.
Oh, damn. I was going to do a double up this week. Shit, son.
Oh, okay. I mean, we can do it. I just, y'all didn't want to pick a game. I'm trying to figure out if we should all do at the same week. We all have to, every week, we pick up one of the games that we have to do a double up or what?
Okay. Oh,
so,
that's fair. You make
so
like
what
one
we'll do is,
game.
Yeah,
I like
games,
that. You make one of them a key game.
Yep.
I like that.
So what we'll do is, I will.
Bama Georgia should be key game.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I mean, the Florida State one wasn't a key game last week, but I said there ain't no effing way they're gonna lose this game.
Yeah.
So my question is, do we want to do a double up on the key game? Or do we just want to say, hey, of all of our games we've chosen, which one of these do you feel most confident in, and that will be your double up?
Okay. That's fair.
You get to pick your own double up game. How about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that.
All
so
right,
what we'll
fair.
Do is, for fairness,
yep.
I will not do a double up this week. Since I did mine last week and won, I'll update the standings, and you guys can do yours this week. And I will reframe this week from doing mine. That way, then we've each got all of us got a double up in, and then we'll start it officially next.
All right.
Fair enough. All right. Overall, with that little change there now, 24-19-1 is me. Jonathan, 25-17-1. You're up one game on me. Tanner bounced back 19-23-1. Tanner went 7-4 last week. Before we get started, Tanner, the masses do want to hear from you because they've got to know what the hell happened after the 1-9 week last week, and they said you were dodging us.
Nah. I'm fine with it. I wasn't dodging. That was just a beatdown. I told you, Reef, I said I might retire after that week.
That's a record. That's one we're always going to remember, the infamous week three.
Yeah. Got beat up. Think I did enough studying right there. Think I just went off the rip. I tried to go heavy dogs, I think, that week, and it just can't do that, I guess, in college football. NFL, you can go heavy dogs, but I don't think you can do that much in the NCAA. You can go more. I've learned that on my own. I've done heavy dogs in the NFL this year and done pretty well. Not so much going that way in the NCAA.
Okay. Well, I told everybody you weren't dodging. You had some things going on, but
people did
say it was interesting that it was after a 1-9 day.
That's funny. I'll probably get beat up again, and I'll make sure I'm the first one calling. You just put me on first. Next time I have a week losing record, just put me on there first and tell them I ain't dodging shit.
All right, boys. Let's get started. Jonathan, you're still our overall leader at 25 wins, so we're going to go with you first. Nebraska -10 at Purdue.
Make it nice, sweet, and simple, man. I'm still pissed about that California Florida State game. Matter of fact, and how the hell? I'll give you. I'm going with Nebraska, by the way. But how the hell did the California AD? California AD has to talk to the team and be like, "Hey, man, we sent y'all all the way to Florida State, and all y'all scored was 9 points." I'm never taking California.
They had three chances to win, too. That's the crazy thing.
I know. I'm totally disgusted. But, like, man, as far as this game, Purdue, still a work in progress, man. They put up some points, man. But, like, nah, man, give me Nebraska.
I'm going to take Purdue, and I know it's crazy shit, and I'm big on Nebraska this year. It's homecoming week. Ryan Walters' job's on the line. It's a home game. I was just at Purdue the last 2 days. Vibes are good on campus, but short-tempered with the football program. Thank God basketball started this week already with practice. But 10 points, you're getting 10 points at home. It's homecoming. My God, you need to step up now more than ever. Give me Purdue plus the 10. I don't like it, but I think Nebraska wins, but Purdue covers.
I'm going to say not so fast. I know a lot of Purdue people, talked to them. They didn't even renew their tickets because they go out there and they hire this football coach, doesn't have any head coaching experience. They said, the hell with my tickets, hell with this program. So, with that said, Nebraska coming off of a loss, too, they're going to be hungry. Yes. And I think their defense is pretty good enough to give Purdue enough fits, and I just think Rule will out-coach the shit out of Purdue. So give me the Huskers by a lot.
Right. Okay, 93% of the bets, 86% of the bets are on Nebraska, 93% of the money is also on Nebraska. So I'm going to go.
Public on them heavy.
I'm going with the pro side, not the joke.
Yeah, the pros. Yeah, that is the pro. Yeah, you're probably all right on that.
I'm going to go pros.
After I said that.
next one. Boys, Ball State's going to James Madison. James Madison minus 20.5. They just put 70 on North Carolina. Tanner.
Give me James Madison. They're going to crush us. We're awful. Snap call on that. James Madison.
Hey, Ball State covered for me last week.
Yeah,
I know
Ball
they did.
Ball State covered me too, man. I just thought they was going to win the game. Just give up a little bit too many points on defense, man, and that is not a good sign for who they play this weekend, man. So go with James Madison.
88% of the bets and 90% of the money are also on James Madison here. I'm taking James Madison as well. When you almost retire Mac Jones, or you retire Mac Jones and then he comes back the next day and says, I'm not retired, I thought it was a wild situation to begin with when he did that.
Yeah, right.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't see us stopping him. I know Cignetti's not there anymore, but this James Madison team's looking good still. So possibly a power five. And, John, by the way, I know we're talking group of five. Don't look now. Who did I send you? Who's already undefeated? And I love the path the rest of the way. Liberty Flames. Love the path. Love it.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what Washington State got to say about that.
Maryland Terps coming to Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. Hoosiers, 7-point favorites. I'm going to take the Hoosiers minus the 7. They're playing good football right now. They're about to be 5-0. This is a good test for them at home. Give me Indiana minus the 7.
If this wasn't a home game, man. Go ahead, Cam.
Go ahead, Justin. No, you're good.
If this wasn't a home game, man, I still kind of lean towards Maryland just a little bit, Brandon. This is a veteran Maryland team. They return the quarterback. I do believe he played in the. I know he played last year. I think he wasn't necessarily a starter. I think he played in the bowl game last year. Billy Edwards. It's gonna be a test. Like I said, if it was on the road, man, I would kind of edge Maryland. But it's gonna be a high scoring game. I do like the Hoosiers. So give me IU.
Give me IU. They're looking. Cignetti, smoke him if you got him. He's playing really good. So I think it's gonna be hard for IU to hold on to him. I think he could very well be 7-0 playing against Nebraska. I was hoping Nebraska would be 7-0 coming in there. So that would have been a steamer of a game in IU. So I think they got to hold on for dear life, or someone's got to – Mark Cuban better cut a fat check for Cignetti because his ass could be out of here. Could be one and done real quick. So, yeah, give me the Hoosiers.
We've got Indiana's getting 79% of the bets and 72% of the money. So the public is definitely on the Hoosiers for that one. Number 20, Oklahoma State at number 23, Kansas State. The battle in Manhattan, K-State minus 5. Listen, I bet Kansas State. They had a piss-poor performance recently. I bet Oklahoma State twice, and they fucked me on one, and then they screwed me on the second one. Yes, and those are two different ways you can have that happen. I ain't going to have it happen again. I think Kansas State rights the ship. They can win by 7 at home. Give me Kansas State minus the 5. Tanner.
Yep, I'm with you right now. Oklahoma State last week, I got lucky. I thought Rising was going to play. He didn't, but they lost to a backup quarterback. I mean, K-State laid an egg on the road last week.
A crazy BYU.
Neither team's coming in on a positive note, but I think OSU's lack of running game and their O-line struggling. So until that changes for me, like you said, it's going to be hard for me to pick the Cowboys in a competitive game. So I think, like you said, I think it'll probably be close, but I think K-State wins by like 6 or 7. It'll be a sweaty one, but I think they cover.
Yeah, K-State right now getting 42% of the bets, but 70% of the money. So there's your big discrepancy right there for K-State. John, round us out.
Yeah, real air raid game here, y'all. So, but I'm taking K-State to cover.
Okay, K-State there. So far, you two are lining up together. And I guess that's the strategy, Tanner. You just stick with Jonathan. He'll get you to the wins you need to get
right.
In this. Gentlemen, number 21, Oklahoma, minus 2 at Auburn. Auburn, I've been thinking they're frauds the entire time. I can't trust this Auburn team. Hugh Freeze, that's Jonathan's boy. Oklahoma let me down last week. I really thought they would give Tennessee a run. Tennessee's looking like a definitely major college football playoff factor, could win the national championship. Offensively, defensively, they look good, just as long as it's not the old Tennessee team that shows up. But Oklahoma minus 2 on the road at Auburn. It's moved down to 1, so we're going to we're going to move it to 1 ourselves. Oklahoma minus 1. I'm going to still take Oklahoma minus 1. I had a minus 2, so I'll take a minus 1 at Auburn. Jonathan.
Yeah, that's a safe pick, man. Auburn, he's free down there blaming everybody but himself. People that he recruited, the assistant coaches. I didn't say that. He got it, put that behind it. That's all behind it. But, like, no, man, it's not going to be a short stay here down in Auburn. Give me Oklahoma.
Tanner.
I mean, if you've studied it hard enough, you know both teams' quarterback situation's a mess. I mean, Oklahoma just benched their quarterback, that Arnold guy, for this Hawkins Jr. And Auburn's been going flip-flopping between the two quarterbacks they have. I think both of them have a quality defense. I mean, I don't think Oklahoma had something they could have kept that game closer with Tennessee. I mean, they didn't really give up a whole lot of points to Tennessee, so I think it'll be a low-scoring affair, but I'm going to ride it with you guys, too. I think Oklahoma squeaks this one out just because I think they're the better team in Hugh Freeze down there. He might be on a short leash, too, down there at Auburn. So, yeah, just give me Sooners will win by a field goal, and that's all I need.
Sooners. Oklahoma's getting 92% of the bets and 90% of the money, so ain't nobody putting on anything on Auburn there. Probably one of the bigger games of the week, number 15, Louisville, at number 16, Notre Dame. Notre Dame Fighting Irish now 7-point favorites. It was at 6. It's moved to 7. John, will let you start this. Irish, Louisville, they beat them last year.
Yeah, Notre Dame really needs this game to get back into serious national playoff contention talk. I think they got their revenge on their mind from last year. I think they take care of business, man. So give me Notre Dame.
Tanner.
Oh, boy.
51. Notre Dame's getting 51% of the bets and 50% of the money. So it's a toss-up.
I mean, that Louisville defense is playing lights out on defense on the run, and Leonard is going to have to probably pass and not be a runner. As much as I love Notre Dame, I'm going to take Louisville in this one.
Whoa.
They might even win this game thing out, damn thing outright, too. So, but I think now that it's to 7, it's going to be tight, and I think it's going to be low scoring. I think defenses will show up. Not sure what the over-under is, but I don't
46.
See it getting much higher. I was going to say I don't see it getting much higher than 45 points combined scored. So I like the under in this game, and I think Notre Dame will – if they want to make it to the damn playoff, they have to have this victory. So I know they have that riding on them, and I think – they'll have it, but I think it's going to be close. They probably win by a field goal right around in there. So I think Louisville covers the game, though.
Yeah, Louisville's getting 46 or 40 for money line bets. Louisville's getting 43% of the bets for money line, but they're getting 72% of the money for the money line. So that's a huge discrepancy there between that. So a lot of people are thinking Louisville could win this outright. I'm thinking Louisville plus the 7, the same reason Tanner said. I can't trust Riley Leonard to do any passing whatsoever. Running's one thing, passing's another. This Louisville defense looks good. Brohm knows the recipe to beat this team. They had a better quarterback last year with Sam Hartman than what they've got with Riley Leonard. Notre Dame's lost some guys from last year. I feel like Louisville's gotten better. Notre Dame may have gotten a little worse. So give me Louisville plus the 7. Next one up, fellas, the new Big Ten battle, Wisconsin at number 13, USC. USC minus 15.5. I'm just going to make it quick for me. Fight on. USC covers this. John.
Yeah, USC got this.
Tanner.
I think it's – I mean, I'm kind of torn because I'm 15.5. I think USC wins by, like, 2 touchdowns, but the fifth. Gosh, dog. I know that they have they're coming off that loss. Wisconsin's got that backup quarterback back there. Man. I'll get back to you if I want to change something, but give me Wisconsin right now. Yep.
On the road in California? Okay. Oh, man, I'm floored.
This ain't your Melvin Gordon team.
Nope.
Let's see. Let me we've got number 19, Illinois, at number 9, Penn State. Penn State is 18-point favorites in this game, gentlemen. It is a night game. It is a whiteout game. So let me know what you guys think here. We're going to let Tanner go first on Illinois-Penn State.
Now that I know it's a night game, I think this is a classic James Franklin game.
Yep.
He's 17-0-1 against the spread since 2000 when he's favored between 7 and 24 points. So that's all I need to see. I think Penn State's defense will be sticky enough. I think Penn State wins. Now that I know it's a night game wideout, that place, 110,000, will be rocking. Illinois will probably shit the bed when they get into that stadium. And I was thinking about this game because I thought 18 was too many, and then I did a little digging, and I did enough to flip me. I'll take the Nittany Lions.
Okay. I'm going to take Illinois in this game. Two reasons why. Number one, Illinois is better than most people think. This is a James Franklin type of game where he's going to shit the bed, and when you should win by 18, and you maybe only win by 14 or 13 here. Another thing, this game itself – 87% of the bets are on Illinois. 88% of the money is on Illinois as well for the spread. So nobody believes in James Franklin. And the fact yesterday, Brent Bielema in his press conference. Franklin called for, quote, whiteout energy for his matchup this Saturday. Then during Bielema's, he goes, I don't know if they're going to be in blue or white or whatever it's going to be this weekend. It's probably going to be one or the other, he said. They're calling for whiteout energy, whatever the hell that means. So I love he's playing the dig X factor at those comments, using those. It's interesting. I like it. I like the way Bielema is taking his team out there, saying, I don't give a shit. Bring out whatever energy you want. We're going to bring out there. They've been the darling of the Big Ten so far. Nobody thought they'd be well this year. I sure as hell didn't. I like what I see. 18 points. I don't give a shit. It's wide or not. Too many points in the Big Ten, especially for a ranked team going against another ranked team. This is way too high for a James Franklin team. Give me Illinois. John?
Man, I was going to go with Penn State, man, but, like, you convinced me, man. I'm going with Illinois, dude. I'm being dead serious. I was going to say, but, like, you're right. James Franklin, he plays too conservative in the fourth quarter. If they are up, you know what I'm saying, he'll let Illinois, you know what I'm saying, kind of storm back and kind of give a scare, man. So, yeah, Illinois has been the most, outside of IU, been one of the most surprised teams out of the Big Ten. So, yeah, I'm going with Illinois.
All right, the big game of the week, Saturday night, 7:30. Number two, Georgia, -2 at number four, Alabama. John, we'll let you start this one.
Man, shoot, the game gave y'all a little scare against Kentucky a couple weeks ago. Couldn't score enough points, man. I know Kirby Smart is thinking the same thing. He's got his team prepared. Man, but I don't know, man. It's the Tide.
This ain't the Tide.
I think they're better. Well, offensively, I think they're better than what people are, you know what I'm saying, give them credit for. Defensively, not Nick Saban level defense. Not that team. You know what I'm saying? They got some guys going to make it to the NFL for darn sure, but as a whole, they're not necessarily there just yet. But I'm going to go, don't fall out, but I'm going to say Alabama wins this one.
Oh, damn it. Tanner.
I think Kirby Smart's dad's finally, daddy finally retired, and Nick Saban, so he is 1-5 all time against the Tide. I think it's going to be a Melrose been a little inconsistent in his pass game this year. Like he said, Georgia got a little test call early against Kentucky. Been a little tested. Alabama really hasn't been. And I don't know. Well, he thought about pulling a McAfee on here earlier and singing that Georgia song and then swerving you to Alabama. But I'm just going to give you the old Roll Tide Willie and say I don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide. Give me Alabama.
Bama for Tanner. Well, gentlemen, the bets, Georgia's getting 55% of the bets and 54% of the money. Like you said, Tanner, Daddy is gone. Daddy has retired. Kirby Smart knows the way that team ended last year that they can't have that again. He has no pressure with Nick Saban being there and stuff that they can go in there and Kellen DeBoer, you may have something good at Alabama down the road, but it's, come on guys, we're talking about Georgia, right? Who the hell has Georgia lost to in the last 4 years? Only 2-3 teams. Alabama was one of them, but also that coach was Nick Saban. So I'm going to take that. Who's that coming down the track wearing that red and black? Give me the Georgia Bulldogs to cover two. And I'm Tanner. I'm telling you now, I'm going big. Georgia -2, Georgia money line. I love it. That's just a personal bet I'm going to make on DraftKings, but love this bet for some reason. Too many people are putting Alabama based on the name. And I'm sorry, it's different from what the hell was down there. Give me Georgia -2. I love it. Next one, Arizona at number 10, Utah. Utah -10. Give me Arizona. I think Arizona is due for a bounce back. I don't know if Cam Risen's playing, if he's not, if he's going to go to school another year, if he's going to go back be in the hospital. Doctor. Yeah, holy cow, I can't understand it. And I'm going to go against the public because 80% of the bets are on Utah, 69% of the money. I don't give a shit. I'm going to take Arizona because I don't know if I can trust a Utah team to cover 10 points against Arizona. Arizona laid a gate. They laid an egg earlier this year. I believe they went to Oklahoma. Maybe they went to Oklahoma State. They went somewhere and they laid an egg when they should have been competitive and they didn't. It might have been Kansas State, but I think Arizona's at least tough. Tanner, go ahead.
I'll snap call you there too. I think they without Rising, I'm going to follow that because if somehow he does play, if he does play, I'm definitely taking Utah. But like you said, you don't know if he's playing. If he's redshirting again, he's going to get a 12th year, whatever the hell he's going to do. So you never know what he's going to do. He's been cleared, but he's still not a full go. I don't know. He's medically cleared to go, but.
Let me throw this in there. This reserves the right for me and Tanner both to change our picks because the odds have changed. It's now, and I just updated these earlier today. It's as of now Utah minus 8.5. So, I'm going to drop it down to the 8.5. I'm still going to take Arizona.
I'll take Arizona still too. I know that means money's coming in on
Arizona for sure.
Well,
and it's weird. It is because Utah is getting 80% of the bets and 69% of the money. So.
Yeah, that means sharp people are coming in there laying hammers.
Yeah, oh yeah, yep. So I'm still taking Arizona.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking Arizona. I'll keep an eye on it. If somehow Rising's playing, which I doubt he does, I'll switch. If he's not, give me – I know I got burned on Arizona earlier this year when you guys took – we had them in one game earlier this year, and they screwed me and got absolutely blown out. I forget who it was by, but it pissed me off.
I'm glad I switched last week. I switched Tennessee from Oklahoma. That was the biggest fraud ever, so thank God I did that. John, who you like?
No, I'm going with Utah, man. Zach Wilson, little brother, is the quarterback now if Cam Rising is not going to be available. He got his first full start, I do believe. I think he's a freshman. He gets a redshirt. One other man, don't give me the line, but he got his first full start last weekend, man. Coach after the game spoke highly of what he did. He just didn't want the game to go that long. That's what the coach said. So, but like, no, man, I like Utah to keep it kind of going. Arizona, like you said, laid an egg a couple weeks ago. I'm sure they'll be up to play against Utah. It's somebody they carry over from the Pac-12 for them. Something they have familiarity with, but like, no, man, I like what Utah has. They like to grit it out. They got the defense. It may not as layered as some of the other championship teams, but I think they're good enough to beat Arizona. So I'm going with Utah.
Okay, last game, Big Ten game, guys. Big Ten game, number 8 Oregon, -25.5 at UCLA. Tanner, we'll let you go first on this one. I'm torn on it because UCLA actually looked like they had some life last week, and they almost won that game out.
I know. And that's a thing. And I'm torn, too, because I'm like 25.5 is a ton of. I want to take the dog, but then I'm like.
Man. You saw what the Hoosiers did when they came to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely dog walked them. So, man. And what UCLA did last week to stay in there with LSU was impressive. So,
yeah. But not unexpected. Man. We all know how much Brian Kelly's dog shit.
Right.
Oh!
He is.
I'll double down.
I'll double down, too. He's ass on a stick.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll double down again and say he'll never win an SEC title ever at LSU.
Uh-oh.
You can't if you're only there 2 years.
Yeah, he won't ever win one. I'm going to go Oregon. But, damn, I don't. I think Oregon's going to score a ton of points. They're probably going to score at least 40.
Yeah, 68% of the best and 65% of the money is on Oregon. I'll snap you. I'm going to take Oregon as well, minus 25.
Yeah.
I've seen what the Hoosiers did to this team. Oregon's better than the Hoosiers, so.
It's probably going to screw me. The final score is probably going to be 40-15, and I'm going to lose by the hook, and I'm going
to. I know, that's exactly what it's going to be. Jonathan.
No, make it a clean sweep, man.
Oregon. Okay. All right, gentlemen.
I have a feeling that's what it's going to be, 40-15, and I'm going to get pissed.
both of you, which one are you doubling down on this week?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to do that.
Who's your doublers?
There ain't no ACC games on the docket, man. I'm not doubling.
Yeah, there is. Louisville, Notre Dame.
Yeah, right, I'll double down on that one.
You're taking Notre Dame? Doubling down on them? All right, Jonathan, times two, doubling down on Notre Dame to win. Tanner.
I'm going to double down. Give me Boomer Sooner. Double down on Boomer.
Oklahoma, doubling down on Oklahoma for the double win. All right, and like we said, I'm going to reframe this week because last week I did mine and won with Florida State, and then next week, we'll get back to it where we'll each do one. So, looking forward to it. Gentlemen, any other things? Tanner, I got to ask, what the hell happened to the 49ers against the Rams? I thought they had that thing in the bag.
Dude, don't even get me started. And then I just got more information today. McCaffrey just went over there and got some damn stem cell thing or whatever he did. He's out.
Peyton Manning.
He might not even see the action until about week 15. And of course, I had first pick in fantasy this year. The one fantasy league I play in, I take him, and then he's done. Hadn't even sniffed the field.
Damn.
Yeah. Their defense is just, I'm telling you, they had two great, obviously, defensive coordinators who are great coaches are turning in. Saleh's going to be a good coach at the Jets. DeMeco Ryan, he's going to be a great coach at Houston. And I just don't think they've found – I mean, he lost two coordinators. I just don't feel like he's found anybody to – I mean, he found the replacement for Saleh, which was Ryan. But I'm like, his replacement for Ryan, the last call, he doesn't have any. I mean, I know we're missing Greenlaw's not back, Drake, because he tore his Achilles right in the Super Bowl, and I know him and Warner are pretty good on that line, and I think Bosa's been banged up a little, but I mean, like, they shouldn't have lost that game. Normally, Shanahan normally owns McVay. I've looked at the, like, head-to-head, and Shanahan always beats him.
Yeah.
And they had that game in the back. I just don't know. I mean, that Mason's dude's doing a great job. Come filling in for McCaffrey, which I was shocked. He's doing a great. I mean, he's carrying the load. He's doing great. I mean, that Debo thing, and then Kittle's banged. I mean, they're going through some shit right now in the injury bug.
Yep.
Yeah.
Talk to me next week. If we lose to New England, I'll probably go off.
Okay.
So we got New England at home.
Hey, I got one bet for you this week. I want you to put in.
Okay.
And I don't want you to think I'm booing it because it's who it is, but I'll give you a reason. Ole Miss, minus 15.5 against Kentucky. Everybody's looking at this Kentucky team. Oh, my God, look what they did on the at home against Georgia, and they kept Georgia close and all that. Ole Miss's offense is better than Georgia. I think we can all agree to that. Kentucky is dog water when they're on the road. 15.5, that's an easy cover from Ole Miss. I'm telling you. Put the condo pick on there. Ole Miss minus 15.5 against Kentucky.
I thought you were going to say Steelers minus 1.5 against the Colts. I'd say
well,
put a condo
that's
on
that's
that.
That's money line and that. You could maybe take Steelers minus 3 even if you wanted.
I actually was trying to find a bet that if you could bet, I don't know if it's a prop bet, that Richardson wouldn't finish that game, that T.J. Watt puts his ass in a fucking cart.
Maybe
I'm
on
trying to find a bet.
Maybe like BetDSI or MyBookie, but – Nothing here.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a bet where he doesn't finish his game because I have a feeling he is not going to finish the game at quarterback. That's just my bet. No, he's not finished. We'll just leave it at that. If that happens, I'm saying Richardson does not finish his game at quarterback for the Colts.
All right. All right. Anything else, Tanner, before we let you go?
No, has Bertong watched any of that McMahon documentary?
Not yet. I told him he needs to get cracking on it.
All right, I'll watch it this week. We'll talk next week. I'll try to get it finished by next week.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thanks, Tanner.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right. That's our guy, Tanner Penrad. John, any final thoughts before we go?
Nah, man, I know we've talked a little bit about Major League Baseball, but we'll deep dive into that for sure next week, man.
I tell you what, the Braves and the Mets both fucked because the Hurricane has canceled the games or postponed them. They got to do a doubleheader on Monday. Why the hell would Major League Baseball just move the playoffs back a day, everything back one day? They're not. So now they're going straight from Monday doubleheaders to shit starting on Tuesday and Wednesday. And these bullpens are going to be taxed between whoever gets in between the Braves and the Mets. It's going to be taxed by the time they get there because you got to play two games on Monday and only one's in. Crazy.
Historical Major League Baseball, man. But that's what, you know, the machine is, it must move on. You know how they, operate.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, I thought we had a great show, man. I know you talk about training camp for NBA. Training camp also has opened up for a lot of colleges around here locally, here in Indiana, Butler. You know what I'm saying? Kind of, you know what I'm saying? I watched some practice, from Indiana State, watched some practice and then some interviews with Mike Lewis, man. Everybody is ready to roll them out there, man, in a couple of weeks, man. Outside of that, man, like I said, thanks, Tanner, for calling in, man. I'm glad, you know what I'm saying, he had a great bounce back week from the previous week for darn sure. Man, where else? Who else? Thanks, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, man, for being our sponsor. Outside of that, man, you know what I'm saying, we'll be back bigger and better. Hey, man, we didn't even talk about any golf that you did this week, man. But you know what I'm saying, we'll have to tap in a little bit of that next week, man. So outside of that, man, I'm John DeBerso. That's Brandon Reeve. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. From cozy breakfast nooks to formal dining areas, Ashley has versatile dining options starting at just $499.99. And for a limited time only, you can receive a $250 mattress credit with the purchase of any six-piece bedroom set. Plus, get 60 months special financing on select in-store purchases made with your Ashley Advantage Synchrony credit card. Shop and save today, only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. No minimum purchase required. See ashley.com for details.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.